Hey everybody, welcome to episode 7 of It's Just Bodybuilding. On today's episode, we interview Luke Sandow, fresh off his Olympia, fresh off the huge year he had. We can't wait to hear what he has to say on It's Just Bodybuilding. And here we are, episode 7 of It's Just Bodybuilding. Did you think we would make it this far, Dusty?
You know, the link doesn't surprise me, but the amount of people that have already jumped on board has been pretty crazy. I actually, just the other day in the gym, you know when you see someone and they're watching, and you can't decide if they're watching because you're a dude wearing a pink shirt, or if it's because of what you're
doing,
or they know you, or whatever the fuck it is. And I kind of just make my way over to allow the conversation to take place. And the guy goes, "Man, love the show." And I was like, "We're 6 deep." He goes, "Oh, we had just filmed with Jose." I was like, "Oh, we filmed with Jose today." So it was pretty cool, like that becoming a reason to be to seen and that people are digging it. So yeah, I'm excited, and I can only imagine how crazy it'll be once we've done 13.
Yeah, imagine. I just talked to one of my best friends last night. He owns a couple clubs back where I used to live. And he's like, "Yeah, the kid that does my electrical work was telling me he listens to your podcast." But my best friend does not listen to my podcast.
None of my friends happens either.
I don't expect my friends to listen, but it's funny that other people are telling him about it. So we're happy to be here. We thank you for all the support. And also thank you to all the amazing guests. Just like today's guest, we have fresh off the Olympia. I know he's bummed out about how the year went, but I don't think he could possibly be bummed out about how his year went. Do you want to just bring Luke Sandow on?
Absolutely. Let's not make him wait.
Okay. Let's bring Luke on. We got the high-tech team working in the background that does all this.
There are 72 people working. Or
yes. And some editing.
All right. We need 73, apparently.
Maybe Luke went to pee.
There he comes. There he is.
Is this
in all his glory, Luke Sandow, welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding with Dusty Hanshaw and myself. How are you doing, my friend?
Wait, are we just boom straight in?
We're just boom straight in.
Wow, you are professionals. Normally, like me and Phil, I'd like fucking around for like 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, but that's all the best stuff, and then you miss it.
Yeah, that's... You caught me off guard, if I'm honest.
Because you're going to crack like 2 or 3 butt sex jokes before you start rolling with Fuad.
Yeah, you've just gone in dry, and I'm normally warmed up.
Hey, you like that? You like that?
Well, I'm a lube guy, but this is okay.
So, Luke, obviously you got your sense of humor back. I think that comes with a couple scoops of ice cream for most of us. And everyone knows that you're disappointed with the yo, but Dusty and I were just talking. We don't think you could possibly be disappointed about your year. So why don't you just kind of start by breaking the ice for us there?
Which part do you want me to talk about? Like, do you just want me to talk about just the Olympia?
Yeah, how you feeling? Like, how you feeling now? Looking
back? I was disappointed because that's not what I wanted, and it's not what I knew. It's way off what I was hoping for. But I do understand it was part of like a grand plan. It just didn't quite work. And it's no one's to blame. Nothing's to blame. It's 11 months of straight dieting. It's really hard to land that plane at the end. You know,
even then I was looking at your photos and like, I mean, you still look pretty fucking good. Like you still had striations.
I haven't posted any rear shots and there's a reason for that. So.
Oh really? Okay. I just say in the side shots, the glutes were still lined out. And I was like, well,
you could see the lines if you squint in the rear shots.
Right. Okay.
So that's what lost it for me, I think. I mean, Chris explained it to me because a couple of weeks out, I said, "Look, man, I'm a fucking fat fuck." And he's like, "Nope, you're fine. We're good." He said, you've been shredded for ages. You're still lean. It's just water. I want to keep your weight high because if I diet you too hard now, you're just going to fucking disappear. And I was like, right, that's actually a good idea. Let's go with it. And I was just concerned going in, and I completely make sense because I think if he tried to carry on bringing me down, I would have just fallen to pieces. So wow. I fell to pieces going up. So it's better, right?
Well, what? Yeah. Well, let's go back to the Arnold. and how you felt coming off of that show with, you know, your, kind of your greatest showing ever and sort of shutting a bunch of people up and how you must have felt. Where were you after the Arnold?
I just still don't know yet now. It's the craziest thing that's ever... I mean, I look back and I think it's a joke. But the most frustrating thing looking back at that is how fucking easy that show was.
Right.
I don't think I had one day when I was tired. It was so easy. The last week was just like... And the whole thing was just fun from beginning to end. And because it was so easy, I'm like, well, why... Why isn't it like that now? What the fuck?
Wow. That's where the 11 months...
So that's what's frustrating, because I think it's one of those times, you know, when like the stars align and everything's just perfect and everything's just clicking.
How much of that do you think is just the nature of bodybuilding? Like, you know, everyone's talking about coaches and strategy. How much of it do you think is just literally like... Is the moon pulling on the water in your body quite enough? Like,
well, the thing is, I think it's just I looking back, I think it's just proof to me that when I'm fresh and responsive, I can come in really well. And when things go on for too long, those things just stop working. It's like, rather than getting it wrong, it's more just like I ran out of gas.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Dusty. I know Dusty wanted to talk to you about training a bit. You had a few questions there for Luke.
Yeah.
Well, I think one thing that we reach out and kind of get the audience to give us a feel. And you are definitely made from lightweight squeezing.
Not big dumbbells.
Yeah. Fluff.
No, but exactly fluff and pinky twisting. Candy fluff. So, like, what would you say? Beyond the fact that most of us just like to move some heavy ass weights, with younger guys coming up, like, what would you say is the advice you give on training as a whole? Like, not being real specific, but just how do they put on muscle?
My interpretation of, say, like progressive overload, mm-hmm. is that's where I base everything on. But I don't say to people, you're not progressing weight, you're progressing how strong your muscles become. So you use your weight, use the weights as tools, mm-hmm. and so instead of trying to get strong at barbell rows, just try and have really fucking strong lats. So it becomes strong on everything. So you're trying to make every muscle in your body as strong and as powerful as possible, rather than just getting good at dumbbell press or good at barbell rows or good at squats. It's more of a question of progressing the weight by actively focus on building and using muscle, not just weight. Does that make sense?
No, for sure. I've never heard it broken down that way, but I think it's true when you've got someone who, you know, if you have a strong back, I find that you're strong on every back movement.
Yeah. And the other thing is as well, I mean, because this is something I found and I've seen it in a lot of people, when you get very comfortable, say somebody squats a lot, love squats,
like really that. Strong.
So, yeah, and then you put them on a hack squat and they're fucking shit. It's because they don't actually have good quads. They're not strong. They're just good at squatting.
Oh, and Ben's
an example of that. I mean, if his knees are bad, so he can't hack squat as much as he wants, but he can barbell squat far more than he can leg press or hack squat, whereas I'm relatively the same in everything. So he has that lift. So my point is that's fine, but if you're trying to be a bodybuilder, which he's not, you need to be that way inclined on every movement you do, not just a couple, because I've been guilty of it, where I've been very strong at dumbbell presses and barbells, and then I go into a hammer strength machine, I can only do three a side.
I remember training with a power lifter when I was younger, and this guy squatted 7 plates. He was the first guy I ever saw squat 7 plates. It was back in the like mid-90s, and he also had a 500 bench, and I trained with him a couple times, and I was doing lying leg curls with more weight. I was doing pec deck with more weight.
Yeah.
I was doing like all the other movements I was using. Like we went to do flies and I was using like 80s, I think. And he was using like 70s. And I was like, what the fuck? But obviously bench press, squat, and deadlift, I was like, I wasn't even in the same stratosphere as that guy.
So my point is if you can just get, you can be strong on all of it.
You think that's how the muscles
show. It completely shows in the physique.
Yeah. I've given you a lot of credit a few times at Dusty's. Heard me talk about when I first met you at Body Power. And then And then the funny thing was, we had Jose Raymond on the show last week, and he told the exact same story. Dusty asked him.
Actually, I know. Yeah, somebody sent me that.
Yeah, someone said, you know, who freaked you out when you first saw them or something? I can't remember the question. And Jose told the exact same story I did, where he saw you at Body Power and you weren't even a pro yet. And he was like, you just had everything. And I remember meeting you that day, and I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Like, I remember that very clearly.
You know what I mean? And I started asking all these questions about you. Plus, you know, at the time, too, I was also kind of looking for, like, maybe someone wanted to be a mutant. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you already had a sponsor at the time and all that. But everyone saw you coming, you know, and now that you've arrived with how you did at the Arnold and stuff, we were really pulling for you at the O, you know, we had you as a dark horse coming in the top part there. And I think that is where you're going to wind up, man. I mean,
that's again, what's frustrating. It's not frustrating. That's the wrong word. It's like, I feel like, without trying to sound cocky, just based on my best performances this year, on paper, that's where I should have landed.
Yeah.
If I came in how I should have.
Right.
I think, just like my training, I'm really good. I'm really good in a short spout. So you give me 4 reps, I'm fucking great. Give me 20, fuck off. So I think it's the same with my contest season. I just need to be like, and one show done. And
I'm fine. So how do you think you're going to approach that? I mean, obviously, I'm sure you haven't decided shows yet.
Well,
you got to qualify for the others. You got to get a quick win.
Everyone keeps asking me if I'm doing the Arnold, and no, I'm not. I've been invited already, and I just was like, nope. And it would make sense to a lot of people to do it, but for me, it's like I've just come off an 11-month prep. Right. For the Arnold, I'd have to start my diet in like 4 weeks. I'm no way am I going to be mentally or physically ready for that.
I think that's a great idea.
I did it this year because I had the opportunity to redeem myself, and that propelled me through the rest of the year. So that was a great decision. The Olympia was probably the bad decision of this year, because I was just run out by that point. So next year, I'm just going to play it more, not safe, but I'm going to not be a moron. And I'm going to focus on maybe like a June, July, August show.
So just give us a recap on the 11-month diet. What you did? You did 3 shows, right?
So I did.
Or 4?
No, I did. So I did the Arnold, and then I did Indy, and then I did Australia and Indy, right, back to back.
Right.
And I had about 6 weeks off, and then I started my prep for the Olympia with potentially maybe doing the British, maybe not, maybe doing Tampa, something like that, because I wasn't sure whether I was going to have enough points. So I had to start the diet earlier. So I pretty much from October to now, or last week, I'd had maybe 4 kind of weeks off in that time.
But you did 5 shows then?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know it was 5. I thought it was 4 or 3 or 4. I couldn't remember. That's do you think you did, how many guys did 5 shows? Like,
I don't know. But if anyone did, they weren't as spread out as mine. So that's a fact. So I think Akeem did, but he got his out really early on.
Right.
But mine were like just sporadic.
So. Yeah, they were spread out. What about, take us to the actual like Olympia. Was it different? Like, were you having a hard time at all mentally processing that you were at the Olympia? Like, were you overwhelmed at all? Or were you,
annoyingly,
was it?
One of the things, because my mind was like, I don't look right. That was just playing on my mind the whole time. And it kind of robbed me a lot of the enjoyment, because I wanted to be there knowing I'd done my homework, knowing I looked fucking how I wanted to, so I could soak it all in. But instead, I just had, you look shit. What the fuck are you doing? Just in my head the whole time, and it did desaturate the whole experience a little bit. So that was something that this is why I can't wait for next year, because now I know what to expect. I can soak in and enjoy it. So,
well, I don't think there's a short list of guys that aren't happy with their first Olympia experience. Some of the greatest bodybuilders of all time have Olympia debuts that didn't exactly go their way. Wasn't Cutler second last?
Yep. He was last. Well, I mean, you'll remember as well, but I only found this out, I think, today or yesterday, that Brandon Curry was dead last.
Dead last.
2 years ago.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. That's the modern age of how fast things can change, you know?
Yeah.
Man. Go ahead, Dusty.
Well, I mean, on the Olympia thing, I get. But I think what a lot of people, and I know you understand, is the game kind of alters. Like we were talking about, it's funny to have a conversation about how you were off because obviously we're talking about off for yourself. And I think a great thing that you've got leading in now is last year, and I remember long time ago, you know, when you and I met and me being like, Luke is going to be the real deal. And so many people from the UK who had kind of seen your promise for a long time, but it hadn't clicked through yet, were kind of like, we'll see. And it blew my mind because I'm like, dude, how do you guys not see? All he's got to do is click that one little screw, turn it half to the right, and it's done. Now you've got the opposite where everyone knows you're there. It's literally like, you know, it doesn't matter what show in the world is. Everyone wants to know what Luke's going to look like because you could potentially win anything you do. That's got to be a little bit different mentally. You know it. I mean, and it's not arrogant. It's just a fucking fact. Everyone knows. It's kind of like, God, I wonder what
Luke's going to look like. It's a really, really big pendulum swing, isn't it?
Right, yeah, for sure.
Expectation. It's like Russian roulette, but no one dies. That's it's like a bag of Revels. You have no idea what you're gonna get. But I'm hoping. I am becoming more consistent with it. Like, I don't think. I mean, the Olympia was my worst showing this year, and I definitely think a lot of that was due to just being tired. And I noticed the same in Indiana. That wasn't my best look because I'd just done like fucking like 70 hours of flying over 3 weeks.
Right.
So I was fucked. And it was just, my body was just like, ugh. And it just doesn't look the same. Things don't respond the same. And it was kind of exactly like that again at the Olympia times 10. I think it's just, you know, when things don't click. So this is why I'm excited for next year, because I'm going to have the longest time off I've had for a while in terms of off season and rest.
Yep.
And I'm going to be the freshest. And I'm going to put all of that prep that I'm not missed a marathon. So I'm going to put all of those, that time, and condense it into a time where I can do one show, potentially win it, Olympia, done. And then in theory, if I time it right, I can be even better, my absolute best at the Olympia. So
I think that's an easy assumption that that's how it's going to roll out. Now, let me ask you something that I don't know how many people are psychotic like me and pay attention to everything, but how's life? What's the tweak going to be for your training partner situation now?
I'm honestly not sure. I know, well, one thing that is going to be cool is James Hollingshead and I are going to start training together a lot more frequently.
Great.
We're going to meet up. And the best thing about it is the gym closest to him, the equidistant gym, is the gym I train at. So he has to come to my gym, which is great.
Oh, so he's going to be going to Muscle Works. Muscle Works again?
Yeah, and then we're going to be doing...
We're frozen.
Oh, Luke froze for one sec. You froze for one sec. You said you're going to be going to Muscle Works.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll hope to get in one or two sessions a week.
Will you be going to Kings at all?
Yeah, I'll go to Kings as well. I'm not going to just rely on him to come.
Right. Okay.
Actually, as well, I'm moving house. I haven't found anywhere yet, but within the next couple of months, I'm going to be moving closer to Muscle Works, which puts me closer to James, so we can train anywhere really.
So this is going to be, you know, these legendary duos that we get.
Yep. Like,
what if you and Hollingshead wind up clicking, you know, you could be
the
next.
I'm just scared, man. I'm fucking scared. I'm going to tear something training with him.
Well, we're both
really passive aggressive in our competitive nature, and we're both fucking strong. And he'll be like, don't worry about that, mate. And I'll be like, nah, fuck it, just put another plate on. He'll be like, well, I'll put two on, Gov. And then we'll both be like spotting 9 plates for 15 reps before you know it. And then something's going to break. And it's going to be him.
Sure. Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully you can find something else to focus on. We would, you know, I love talking about training partners and that sort of stuff, you know, the Branch and Johnny's and, you know, kind of all the legendary duos, you know, the Arnold and Francos and stuff. And, you know, England's got one pair already. They got Dorian and Leroy that everybody knows about. But we need a couple of pros, both doing shows.
James essentially dresses exactly like Leroy. So perfect. Danny has the goatee. So it's perfect.
I can do locked in.
With you guys training together, my Instagram's going to look even worse. And no one's going to want to post training clips with you guys training together. What's going to happen?
It's going to be so good. And the other thing is as well, is John, the owner of Muscle Works Orpington, has just ordered 210, 20, 30, 40, and 50-pound dumbbells.
Oh, damn.
So we've got some big boys to play with.
Holy shit, yeah. You know, it's funny.
Bulky as fuck, though, man. Oh, it's so hard. That's the hardest part for me with the monsters.
No, because we've got the Ivanko ones. They're not that long.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they're
actually... You got the 12-pound plates on them.
Yeah, so the 200s are so comfortable. They're like... But the thing is, I was doing them for like 8-10 reps 2 weeks out, and I was like, I need some more dumbbells for the off-season. So I'm hoping that something like the 210s or 220s will be just as comfortable. Because normally 200s are like fucking 8 foot long.
Yeah.
So, and it's never the weight that's the problem. Because we can all bench more than 405, right?
Yeah.
So that's it's not. It's about the same kind of thing. Yeah, but that's what I mean. So, but when they're not so big, it's more comfortable. So you can actually press what you're supposed to be able to press.
Yeah. So yeah, our gym's got we go all the way to 150. And I get people all the time, dumbbell. I'm like, for how many fucking reps?
Is it one of those 150s that looks like a 300-pound dumbbell?
Yeah, it's still huge.
And so
they're useless in every way. They're too light.
But then I think you can go too much of an extreme. Have you seen the Watson dumbbells?
Yeah, they look so small.
You can get
small.
Like a 600-kilo dumbbell, and it's like this. It's like the size of a fucking key. And you're like, it's like, I don't know. I mean, do they make it out of like some kind of dwarf star matter? I don't know what. But they're almost too small. Like
right.
Like a 50-kilo dumbbell is tiny. And you're like that in the gym, like it's like, I don't understand it.
Luke,
that's too much.
I got to give you extra points for the dwarf star matter joke. that's just so fucking funny to me.
I wonder how many people will understand that reference.
No, that was excellent. It's funny because I've seen photos of guys training with those Watsons, and I'm like, how much is he curling? And then you like zoom in, and it's like 40 kilos.
Yeah, and you're like, what the fuck?
And you're like, oh, that's like a 90-pound dumbbell, and it looks like he's curling at 40. It's just
so
funny.
So where did I go recently? They had a pair of 150-kilo Watson dumbbells. They had a pair. I don't know why the fuck you need two of them. And it looked like a regular 170, like 180.
Yeah.
Like not super huge, but not.
Yeah.
It's insane. I picked it up and I was like, it didn't make sense. It didn't look like it could possibly be that heavy.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. They're fancy though. They sure look nice on the rack.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what matters.
That's what matters. So I wanna ask you about the podcast thing with Fuad. How did that all evolve? The bodybuilding and bollocks, is that what it's called?
He just had me on as a guest, and we clicked quite well, because Fuad has this way of asking you really, really random personal questions live on air that you can't backtrack from. So he kept doing that to me, and it went down really well with the general public. So he was like, well, let's do a weekly podcast, and that's what we do. So,
which how's actually, it going?
Well, pretty well, because we're recording tonight. Yeah,
I
think it's going well.
Yeah. You guys fuck around a lot. I mean, I've watched a couple episodes.
Yeah.
You don't mind him just digging deep into your sick little world, do you?
That's the most entertaining part, isn't it? I mean, he's so boring. He's like, girls don't do anal. I'm like, where the fuck do you live? Like, you in a Mormon town? What you fucking, did you mean? It's like, I don't understand. Like...
He doesn't know those British girls, Luke.
And it's like, when he says things like girls don't like doing this, I'm like, dude, like you're a virgin, man. You are essentially a virgin. What are you talking about?
Well, now we gotta have Fuad on to give his side of the story.
I know
he'll come on if we ask him. So if he's not busy with one of his 10 shows, the guy's knocking him out like
he's
crazy.
He's doing a ton of stuff. But everyone is lapping it up.
Yeah, he's doing great.
The thing about Fuad is he can talk about anything and somehow make it interesting.
Right.
And he has another talent, because I've seen him do it so many times in person, and it's, I can't do it. He can be the rudest prick ever. Like, so disgustingly rude to somebody, and it doesn't come across rude.
They thank him.
And he just comes across, because he's so, like, confident with his, like, the way he does it, he just doesn't come across rude. It just comes across as just... politely frank, and he can be a dick and completely get away with it. I don't know how he does it.
Right, but he's actually being a complete asshole.
Yeah, maybe it's just because I know him. I know he's being a dick. So.
Right. What is it like? You're going to get me a table right now, and it's going to be the best table. Is that the type of stuff you mean?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, but he's like it's amazing. You have to see it.
Right.
Now he's got a goal.
He's an asshole all the time. So this is not me breaking secrets. I'm not like, this isn't WikiLeaks. Everyone knows.
Oh, no. Everyone in Canada has known Fuad's a bit of an asshole for like 20 years.
Yeah.
Exactly. We love him.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like the only Canadian I know that's rude. Maybe that's why he gets away with it, because he's Canadian.
Oh, it's also why everyone respects him so much. You know, he calls it like it is, and he won't agree with you just to, like, you know how sometimes if somebody says something and you don't agree with it, but you don't have time to talk to them, you're like, yeah, yeah.
Just kind of politely agree.
He'll never do that. Yeah. He'll be like, no, and he'll stop and be like, fuck, now I'm going to be late.
I know, fucking hell. Like, I think it was like 2 years ago, we were on a booth together in, I think it was the LA something expo. I saw you there, Dusty, remember?
Yeah.
And on the way out, he started getting into a really, really deep political debate with Seth Rossi. And they would just go about fucking guns or something for literally 35, 40 minutes. And I was like, fuck, dude, we got to fucking eat, man. And he just would not let it drop. Yeah, so yeah. I just have to go wait in the car on my own or something.
You and I got one of those street hot dogs.
Yeah.
I got ice cream.
Scrot the dogs here, because they're made out of dog scrotums. I'm sure.
Well, it's downtown LA.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. No? It's like Mad Max in downtown LA now.
Fucking hell. It's one of the worst places I've ever been.
It's insane. That city is just
we went to one of the gyms there. We drove to it, but it wasn't open, so we had to leave. We pulled up outside. I was like, I mean, I've been to the worst parts of London. I'm not bothered. This place, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
It was like, I was like, this is like worse than Baghdad. This, fuck me, I'm going to get shafted. Something's happening. So, but luckily it survived and we just drove off. But it just has this presence to it as well.
Yeah. It's just like last time I went to Gold's Venice, you couldn't park on the street because the streets were lined with motorhomes because of all the homeless people that live in Venice now. They just park their motorhomes everywhere. It's just craziness.
It's not how I expected it.
Yeah.
It presented on TV.
On TV, it's like, oh, LA, lovely. But it looks like LA in Elysium.
It's a movie. It's like LA 2052.
Yeah, it looks like Mega City 1. That's what it looks like. But fuck. It's horrible. No offense to anyone that lives there. I mean, I just live in countryside England. So you might think I live in a bin, like a shitty hill. You might think I live in Teletubby Land, but I don't. I like it.
I like it.
Yeah. So like it,
what was your first trip to Gold's Venice? The first time you ever went to Gold's Venice?
It was actually the first and only time, which is when I competed last year in the California Pro.
Okay.
And I did not enjoy that because I ended up in hospital. And the whole time I was there, I was like, I just want to die. So I didn't really get a chance to enjoy that gym as much as I would have liked. But it's got like every piece of equipment you can imagine in there.
Yeah, it's pretty huge.
Yeah.
But now you train at a fancy muscle works with all the newest shit.
And air conditioning, everything. It's amazing. It's like the posh shit. It's like a hardcore gym gentleman's club, because it's a really hardcore gym. He lets me put whatever I want on when I'm training.
Yeah, you always got rage plan.
Yeah, but it's the most, everything's brand new and just so clean. But it's a really weird dynamic, but I think that's what makes it cool. So
I always say that.
It's hardcore, but immaculate.
Hardcore doesn't have to mean dirty.
Yeah, I actually don't even know what hardcore gym means anymore, because a lot of people assume it just means everything's fucked, broken, and looks like shit.
Right.
To me, a hardcore gym is when they pay attention to the dumbbells, the plates, and the bars.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
That's why in muscle works, we have all the Ivanko dumbbells and plates, and we have all Texas bars.
Yeah.
Good bars are a big thing. I remember Dave Tate told me, everybody uses your bars, so get good bars.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the amount of times have you ever been into a gym, phenomenal equipment.
Bad bars.
None of the plates really match. All the bars are shit, and all the dumbbells are just wonky and wobbly and don't even go that heavy.
Right.
It's really common.
I always felt hardcore gym was sort of an atmospheric thing to me. Like, music is a huge thing. Having music on a little bit more aggressive and a little bit louder. That's a huge thing. I just think music is sort of like that with me. It creates my atmosphere. And even though I wear headphones, if like I take my headphones out and I hear like CKNW news, I'm like, oh, fucking people. How do you live like this? I put my headphones back in. But When I pull my headphones out and there's a song I also like on and it's kind of loud, I'm like, fuck, this is a cool gym. And I put my headphones back in.
Yeah, exactly what you mean. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's a big thing for me is just atmosphere, you know, and everyone, it just the attitude, like you get a lot of support at MuscleWorks. Dusty gets a lot of support at Independent, you know. You know, they don't mind, like they might, you know, some other kid might come in and deadlift and yell and they might tell him to be quiet, but they don't tell you to be quiet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my music gets complained about all the time. And John, the owner, he fucking hates what I like. He's like, I fucking hate that screaming. It's fucking shit. But he'll be like if somebody says, oh, can we change the music? He's like, nah, cause you ain't training for the fucking Olympia. So that's his like reasoning. So if people don't like my music, he just tells them to fuck off.
Oh, that's awesome. See, that's an incredible thing.
I like that as well because he hates it too and he puts up with it.
Right. Because it's more important to him to support you than it is to.
But his music is dreadful.
What does he listen to?
He plays it really fucking loud.
What does he listen to?
Like, the jungle is massive.
Yeah.
Really horrible garage drum and bass. Just horrible. But it says Jamie do what he likes. So I've got to just fingers in my ears.
That was actually a pretty good impression of a drum and bass song, by the way.
I was surprised when it came out. I was like, wow, that's pretty good.
I thought maybe you had like a beatbox background or something there. I didn't know well, what. Where's that?
I play drums, so...
Oh yeah, you do.
It's the same, but with the mouth. So
right, okay.
I can play. I could play some sort of drum with almost everybody.
Picking up on bodybuilding and bollocks right here. With anything, huh?
I think I just take the bollocks everywhere I go. My dogs are fighting. Shut up.
I think that it definitely follows you wherever you go, Luke.
I think. Sorry.
It's gold.
Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com and use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
So are you going to do the Vancouver Pro so you can come and visit?
Yeah, that was actually one of the shows I was thinking about, that kind of time frame. So I need to know when, I think the calendar, when you're both pros, you'll know this. Is it December the calendar comes out?
The calendar, yeah, comes out like end of the year, yeah.
Yeah, so Vancouver's normally, what, end of July?
Yeah, it's in July usually, so.
Yeah, so I mean, that's definitely a potential show for me to look at.
Okay.
Because I want to do something late enough where I can still, I don't have to push too hot. I don't know how. So I want to do one that I can get a tiny bit of a rebound and come down comfortably for the Olympia, but not too far away where I have to literally go up and come back down.
Yeah, yeah. So
to pick and choose. But it depends, you know, it depends what Chris thinks is a better option, because he might think breaking up into two smaller parts rather than just one long slog, he might think that's a better option. So I don't know. So Chris tends to know more than I do.
Well, you'd be very well taken care of out here, so don't ever worry about anything if you do come to Vancouver.
And I've also done Vancouver before. We did it, didn't we, Dusty?
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that was a really, really well-run show, and I love the city as well. So it's another show because Vancouver's amazing. So.
Yeah, sweet. I got a few questions here for you, Luke. I was going to ask you, what's the worst injury you've ever had? I don't really remember hearing you being hurt.
In the gym, nothing. Skateboarding, I've dislocated my left shoulder about six times. Each time I've been hospitalized, And I'd been, once I had to put, I was put under general anesthetic to get my shoulder back in. broken ankles, wrists, fingers, toes, dislocated knee.
How does that shoulder feel in the gym?
Not great, to be honest. I mean, it's given me shit recently for the last kind of 3-4 months. Right. But it's one of those things, I don't know. It's not terrible. It's okay now, but it doesn't feel the same as this one.
Right. Like, does it hurt or is it weak?
Neither. It's just the range is slightly different.
Okay.
So I notice it's weird. It's like if I put my hands above my head, it's like the lat's tighter on this side, but it isn't because it doesn't affect anything else where it should.
Right.
So I've seen multiple like therapists and things, and they always notice that things are tighter on the left side.
And you, wow. So how long did you skateboard for?
5 years.
And you were pretty like, I assume you were hardcore.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was with some friends that still skate now, and they're phenomenal. So yeah, I just kept getting hurt.
Now, how big were you when you were skating?
I've always been bigger than everyone. Not bigger, just stockier.
Right. Yeah.
Like imagine just schoolboy with traps. That was me. Just all the time, just traps forever.
Right.
I was a baby with traps. That's the kind of build I've always been.
So I want to just bring up a conversation I heard you have with Fuad, actually, that I thought was fascinating. And Fuad asked you, I think it was your first interview with him before you guys had the show. Yeah. And Fuad asked you, how do you lift so heavy? He was talking about your deadlift or something. And you just said, because I always have. And he's like, what do you mean? And you go, well, I mean, first time I deadlifted, I pulled 315 or something.
405.
First time you ever deadlifted, you pulled 405. Yeah. And then I think you even made a joke like, my deadlift's only gone up 3 plates since I started training. So 405 the first time you deadlifted. Can you give me some background on what? Because you just skipped over it like it was no big deal.
I don't know what is. I've always been strong. It's really weird. I had that weird like farm boy strength as a kid.
Right.
Like I remember my dad took me to the tip, which I guess you call a junkyard. I
think it's the garbage dump.
We had loads of like logs and beams and fucking wheelbarrows full of shit in the back of the van.
Yeah.
And there was stuff that he would have to pick up with my mum or like again my brother to help him with. I would just pick up above my head and just walk it across to the skip, just lob it in. I just could lift shit up when I was a kid that would just other people were like, what the fuck? like a whole wheelbarrow full of, or like sandbags. I actually remember once I did labor, manual labor on a building site. And these guys were taking these iron girders up 2 at a time. Two men at a time. And I didn't see it, but I just picked one up, put it on my shoulder and took it up the ladder. And everyone was just like, that's what the fuck? weren't you guys doing the same? Like, that isn't that just easier? And none of the other guys were doing it.
Is it just faster if I do one and you do one?
So literally that just shows you just pulling stuff off the floor.
Right.
Like a deadlift. Because all that is just picking something up. That's just always, I've always just been pretty strong at doing that specific thing. I think it's just because of my height, mechanics, I don't know.
So. Strong. Genetics, tendon structure.
Just picking stuff up.
You're bringing human questions to non-human people. It doesn't count.
Maybe it has something to do with the fact you've been into superheroes the whole time. You always got a superhero shirt on.
Maybe.
I have actually got a superhero shirt on. Yeah, you're right. I always have been. I think maybe a lot of strength, I guess, might be in your head from when you're a kid. Because if you're a big fan of The Flash and you took up running, odds are you're going to be pretty good at it.
Right.
That makes sense? I think you're drawn to what you're meant. If you have a favorite bodybuilder, they're the guys that tend to look like you.
Right.
Why Sean Roden isn't my favorite bodybuilder, because he doesn't look anything like me. So subconsciously, I think what you're good at, you're kind of sometimes drawn more towards.
Right.
Yeah. relate to it as a kid.
You see, so people that tend to be more interested and inclined in cars when they're a kid, play with cars, they get really into cars, and they get older, they start getting interested in engines, and a lot of them become mechanics.
Right.
Whereas I don't give a shit, therefore I could never become a mechanic. I literally don't have it in there. So I think for me, just being obsessed with comics, muscles, just so in turn, was because that was my thing, physically and mentally. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
So, yeah. Well, before I'll turn you over to Dusty and one more question here. What was your very first gym, like going to the very first gym?
It was actually a really small health club about 10 minutes from my house, but had a surprisingly well-equipped gym and a lot of good powerlifters trained in there. So it had a bench, leg press, it had a squat rack, a deadlift platform, dumbbells up to 120 pounds, all the plates matched. It had one powerlifting bar, which I'm guessing was probably a Texas bar or some sort, but only the powerlifters were allowed to use it. Had a Smith machine, and it had just like leg extensions. It just had everything you needed. So imagine a really, really well-equipped, almost home studio. So it's only like a double garage, they could fit it out, and that's kind of, if you wanted to pick the best gym for you to train in on your own in your garage, that's how good this gym was.
That's badass.
And it was actually really good.
How old were you?
I think I joined there when I was 22, 23, is when I started.
And what was the weightlifting experience before that? Any at all?
No, well, I mean, in terms of bodybuilding, no, but I went to like other gyms to get trim because I was in the music. I wanted to just look good in clothes. So mm-hmm. I used to do a lot of like stuff at home. I was like do a lot of cardio and just body weight gym stuff, but I would never train. And then when I took the interest in bodybuilding, that's when I started actually bodybuilding. So yeah, 22, 23. That makes sense.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's crazy, man. Go ahead, Dusty.
So one thing I had a lot of people asking about is essentially in the last 3-4 years, I can't even gauge time anymore. UK bodybuilding is way on the map again.
Yeah.
You know, there was such a long period where it was just, you know, the US more or less and you know, a couple of things. Now it seems like you guys all kind of hit your stride at almost the same time.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What's that like there? I mean, as far like, do you find that the country, not just when you're doing big shows, but like, is there just a ton of like pride and respect behind you guys now in general, or what?
I'm not too sure. It's interesting because although I am a part of British bodybuilding, I'm not in it anymore as much because a lot of the guys in the amateur scene are kind of all, they're more friendly. It's hard to describe. It's like, I feel like I'm more just looking at, as an outsider looking in now.
Well, you've had a busy year.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to a lot of shows this year and I'm still friends of everyone, but because I've been so focused on what I've been doing, I think I've missed out on a lot. But looking into British bodybuilding now there's two guys, two of my friends like Rob Taylor and Harry Harris have recently turned pro and both of them are fucking amazing. It's just, it's really cool to see how many of the guys that I came up with are now turning pro, but they're turning pro deservedly.
Right.
Because I think, as you said, it was like a lot of seeds were planted about kind of between 7 and 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and they're all starting to flourish now, and you're seeing all these awesome physiques coming out of there. And if you also notice, all of us train the same way. Right. And there's a ton of really good pros coming out of the UK at the moment, and that's exactly the reason why.
I talked about that with Hollingshead. I said it was a couple of years ago I had this conversation with him, and I just said, man, I can actually feel the Dorian Yates style training when I'm in those gyms that you have over there. I can actually, it's like, I don't know, it's just maybe because I'm so super sensitive to it because I was a huge fan and that's how I trained when I was competing. But I can like feel it. Like it's in you guys. Like you have the same attitude. You're like,
there is.
I'm going to fucking kill this set. This is the fucking set. Like you say that shit. And I'm like, these guys get it.
Yeah. I think it's because we all grew up in the shadow's shadow.
Right. You know,
in a way that he's the pinnacle to us. Yeah. He's a pinnacle to everybody, but because we're British, that's the way it's done. It's the way it's done here. That's the way we do it. And I think that's because Dorian kind of led us all that down that path. And that's why I think in the US, I see the majority of guys training kind of like Jay Cutler. That kind of volume, like still pretty heavy, but just tons of volume, which is fine. But just there's just, I think there's a difference. And I think it's just a cultural thing as well.
Well, there's also little micro cultures too, because I trained at Metroflex in Texas. And I sort of was, I'm training on camera, but I'm just trying to absorb everything. And, you know, the guys I'm training with, they're training a certain way and I'm training their style, because I tend to do that with people, is I just train their way. And I'm watching everyone else train. Everyone does exactly what Ronnie did. Four sets of 10. Every set gets heavier. The last set is so heavy that it's a little bit loose. You know, and so you're training to failure essentially because your form's breaking. But everyone trained heavy, like, but lots of sets, and they moved fast, and they do 20 sets of back in an hour.
But Texas, you remember, it's about three, four times the size of the UK or England specifically. So it's basically its own country. So I think so Texas probably do it in their own way, just like we do in the UK, because all the Texan guys, they're all looking up to Branch and Ronnie,
and that's all that gym that everyone, that's how they train there.
And I think a lot of the guys in Texas, Texas is known for being fucking hardcore guys, right? But especially in bodybuilding, and it's the same. I think because the bodybuilders there look up to those guys because they're our guys. And it's the same with us. We, our guy is Dorian. He's ours.
Yeah.
Want to kind of emulate that, and I think that's why you see a lot of the physiques. Right, I mean, even Diasha, he's very unique in his look, but his muscle is still dense and thick.
And he trains heavy.
He trains really heavy and hard.
Yeah.
And it shows. So even if you are like a Sean Roden, or like, you know, the Sean Rays, or you know, those kind of guys are very aesthetic. They look phenomenal, but they don't have that rugged muscle. If they trained the way that Dorian did, they'd have that. They would have some very similar muscle to kind of how Diasha looks, which I think is way cooler, like that thick.
Yeah, see, I always feel you can tell how someone trains when you look at them. Like when they're in shape, I'm like, ooh, that guy does some nasty shit. You know what I mean? Or, you know, it's those little comparisons. Like, or I've always said, like, you know, you see a guy in the gym that's got big arms and he's got long pants on, you go, I wonder if he's got legs. But if you see a guy in short shorts with huge legs and he's got a long sleeve shirt on, you go, his fucking arms are huge.
It's true.
So it's an interesting thing, because I look at the UK and even at the, because obviously I've come out and done appearances and guest posings at shows there, I feel like the average acceptable way to get on stage is higher than it is here. Like, I see guys in the UK that conditioning-wise, they see guys like at a regional show in the States, and they'd be like, oh, fuck, you got on stage like that? That's embarrassing. You're fat. Like, they're not afraid to, like, grind. And I tease myself because I live in a posh, fancy area, and I just joke that, like, how the fuck do I do what I do here? Whereas, you know, Aceto will always say, like, East Coast dudes are more hardcore. We got fucking weather. We got all this shit we got to deal with. We still get it done. And I'm like, yeah, but the sun gets in my eyes some days, and just not quite as hardcore here. But I do think that everything's fucking a little more over the top there. Like, when I go to a show in England, I watch. When I go to a show here, I wait for my turn to go on stage.
Yeah. I mean, bodybuilding is a little bit different here, I will admit.
Another thing that's different in England is your crowds are better.
Oh, yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah, I remember this hilarious clip. I was at Body Power one year, and you guys had a 212 show there.
And
I was talking to Rob Bailey, and he showed me a video, and it was him and Dana, and they were sitting close to Jay, and then Leroy was like two seats away, and Rob was filming because Leroy was standing up with an air horn and just cranking on the air horn.
So good.
And everyone was screaming, and he was like, I've never seen a crowd like this ever. And Jay was turning around and looking at the camera like, holy fuck. Like,
yeah. But that's what it was like at the British Grand Prix this year, especially when the top three were British guys. Like, that's another thing. Like, they're looking at the show list next year, if there is one in the UK, that's not super early in there. Even if it's May, I might even do it, just because the crowds here are insane. And because we love it here.
Right.
I think it's because we do it properly. I think that's what it is. It's not fashionable. Yeah.
It's not. Well, that's just the vibe. Fucking awesome. Yeah. The vibe that I get is that bodybuilding is still like a socially freak show to the average British person.
Yeah.
You know, whereas over here in North America, it's like, you know, I have people say stuff to me like, oh, like, are you the size of The Rock? And this is back when I was like well over 300 pounds. And I'm like, no, I'm not the size of The Rock. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, he's pretty big, eh?
Yeah.
Whereas
about a week away, like 10 days away from the Olympia, I was doing my pictures in the morning. I put my clothes back on, and this guy came up to me and was like, yeah, pretty good. You got any shows coming up? And I was like, yeah, it's going to compete in about 10 days, actually. And he was like, yeah. What show are you doing? I might come. Never met the guy. I was like, oh, I don't think you will. He's in Vegas. This is the Mr. Olympia. I was like, yeah, my mate. He's won that a few times. It's pretty good, isn't it? And it's like they just don't. So it turns out that his friend had won like Mr. Basingstoke or something, like Mr. Middle of fucking nowhere. And a lot of the general public, what I'm kind of getting at is they'll still see that little Mr. means fuck all to Mr. Olympia, and they don't see a difference. It's all the same to them. They all think it's equally as stupid everywhere. So, and I quite like that.
I think you said equally as stupid. It wasn't about I respect them equally. It's they're both dumb.
Right.
Yeah.
They're both dumb and ridiculous.
Both of you are getting your underwear to pose, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Like, people in this country are so rude, but they just, because they don't quite understand it. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know how old people are accidentally racist? And they're not being racist. They just, what they've said is racist. To these days standards.
Yeah.
So over here, people are quite rude and say things, but they're just trying to be nice.
Clueless.
But it comes out horrible. So I'm trying to think of an example. Like recently, this guy was saying to me, he's actually at my son's friend's birthday party. This guy just came and sat next to me. He was like, a lot of roids in it. And I was like, what the f-? He's like, a lot of roids, you know, you're a big boy. Careful. A lot of deaths. I was just like.
That sounds like something out of an Office episode.
I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, and then he just got his phone up and had a picture of his sister who competes. And then we started talking. But then he would say things like, so you compete? I was like, yeah, I'm actually a pro. And he's like, oh yeah, well, there's no money in it. But he doesn't mean like it's a shit job. He's just like, oh, that's unfortunate, isn't it? And I was like, no, there's, you know, you're pretty good actually. I'm doing all right. He's like, yeah, but it's just prize money, is it? You just got to make sure you do well. And I was like, well, yeah, but yeah, I get paid a salary, and you know, there's this is involved. I said, well, the Olympia is in, like, I was like 6 weeks out, and I was like, that's. $400,000 if you win that. And he was like, fucking hell. And then he started, and then it piqued his interest. He was like, it's actually real. And like, because before that, he was just completely belittling it without realizing he was doing it. Because he was trying to just be nice and because all he'd ever heard about bodybuilding was just negative stuff. So that's all he could work into the conversation. That's all the opinions he had. Because that's just what the general public are like here. So they, even if they think it's ridiculous, they still try and be quite nice about it.
Right. It's so funny. I was walking my dog the other night at like midnight, and I'm going out of the condo. I live in a big tower, right? I'm going out the front door, and there's this kid that I don't know, he's probably 25, and I see him sometimes, and he's going out at the same time. And he goes, hey man, I've been meaning to ask you. I see you around all the time. What do you cycle?
It's the worst, isn't it?
I go, dude, I'm retired. And I just walked away with my dog.
I find it so strange how people can just say that to you as if it's fine. Like, I was somewhere recently. I think I was putting some of that fucking AdBlue shit to my truck. And the delivery driver who's delivering to the garage, delivering their fucking chocolate bars, he just came to me. He was like, what goes well with Tren, mate? I was like, what the... I'm just like, how can you just say that in public, out loud to me, as if that's okay? It's like me going up to him. It's like, does your wife like fisting? It's really personal as well. And also it's kind of borderline illegal. Someone likes it. It's not really, but it could be. And it's just like, you just don't, it's like you don't go up to people and go, do you love a bit of coke at the weekend? That's unacceptable to say as well. So why do people just think it's fine to go up to a bodybuilder and just start saying, we'll go grow a trend, as if it's fine? That annoys me. That's one of my...
Yeah, and you guys still have a lot of that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I mean, you got it from that kid.
Yeah, well, I get it over here from younger people, but you're getting it from adults. Like, you're getting it...
To be fair, actually, in our gym, a lot of the younger kids in there, the younger guys, like the 25 and under, most of them are natural. And all of them are doing big powerlifting movements. In fact, there's this kid, Mike, in our gym. He's a powerlifter and a bodybuilder. He's 23 or something. He's fucking big, really thickly muscled. He's super strong, like squat 6 plates, like pull 6 plates to the floor, completely nutty. And there's another kid in there who's a dick, who just like walks around with his big baggy hoodie on, with his belt on, with his name on it. Dick, fuck off. Just always going on about this. He's geared out of his ass. Always pretending he knows everything he's talking about and does the most poncy shit. Like sitting in a hammer strength machine doing one side.
I knew you were going to do that.
With a fucking chain on his head. Just, you know, and then I'm just thinking, good. Because the guy over in the corner squatting 6 plates and fucking screaming his ass off and really getting into it is natty, younger, and twice your fucking size.
Yeah.
And that's to me what bodybuilding is. It's not as... It's pretty fucking easy.
Oh, it is. Yeah. For sure. That's why I laugh when you see, like, the hammer strength one arm is so common. Yeah. And I always say to myself, and my poor training partners, I bitch about it all the time. You can see it all the time. I'm like, how is it you see me or some of the other athletes in the gym that look the way we do, and it's like an incline barbell is enough for him. Yeah. I need something a little more precise to get up to 152 pounds.
Yeah. Well, Ben and I always joke as well, because obviously I'm really good friends with Jordan Peters.
Yeah.
Obviously, so we have it something that Ben and I always laugh at is the JP effect. So JP starts doing snatch grip deadlifts. That's all you'll see.
Oh, the snatch grip deadlift one was a huge Instagram phenomenon.
Oh my God. And then like, because I like heavy RDLs, because like all of a sudden Jordan was like, I don't really believe in deadlifts anymore for bodybuilding. I think they're more of a power movement. I'm going to focus on these. Makes sense. I was like, yeah, it does actually make sense. I don't completely agree, but it makes sense. Everyone in bodybuilding in the UK, deadlifts are shit. Do RDLs. And everyone would do it. And then I would post a video of me doing RDLs, which I've been doing for 5 years. Like with 7 plates, everyone's like, you're just copying Jordan. You're just trying to be like JP. And it's like, fucking hell. But again, that's why it's good, because Jordan is putting out that you need to lift fucking hard and heavy. And I think a lot of that, he's having a very positive influence in that respect.
He's
getting kids to do the hard stuff.
There's another JP effect that cannot be ignored.
Okay.
Shoes.
It is. I had a kid at the gym, huge hoodie, long baggy pants, flip flops.
Yeah.
And the hoodie was super long, and I could tell, and he was deadlifting, and I was like, okay, kid's a JP fan. I almost don't want to go tell him that we don't allow flip flops, but I'll let him finish deadlifting. So I just went over, I was like, hey man, I go, I love your training hard, but just wear some shoes next time. We don't really do flip flops here. And he's like, okay, no problem. Yeah, and it was so funny because I walked away.
Man. Why are Canadians so nice? You Canadian people are too nice. It's true, Dusty. It's true, right? Canadian people are like a different level of nice.
See, that's a funny thing, though. Is see, truthfully, here, because, and I mean, everyone in my gym knows. Like, I'm the guy. I say hi, this and that, and you know, I'm cool with everybody. But I would be the guy that looks around and goes, "Put on some fucking shoes. Are you serious?"
Yeah.
Like,
that's the American way.
That's like Independence. They know that. Like, I'm gonna do that shit. Or if a guy walks away from the bar and leaves the plates on, I'm the guy that walks over and goes, are you done with that? Yeah, I'm done. I'm like, well, then take that shit off. They're like, oh.
Yeah. To be fair, that is the way I would do it too.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I guess I'm coming at it from a gym owner point of view.
That's valid.
You're coming at it from a Canadian point of view as well.
I still want the kids. I still want the kids' money.
I don't want to scare them to death. Anyway, he would have given. He'll still carry on his monthly direct debit just to be polite. So don't worry about it. He's Canadian. You can have my money, eh? And then he'll just carry on. Canadians.
Ask him first. Are you dual citizen or pure Canadian? Pure Canadian.
Put some fucking shoes on. I'll get an apology card the next day.
That's cool,
man. I love to ask everybody. I've got a few questions that I'd like to go into with all you guys. We all have our own stories, but I ask pretty much every guest this. Or at least I'm going to start, anyways. Everyone talks about how freaky they thought you were when they first saw you and stuff. What are some things that have freaked you out? Like, what has Luke seen where he's like, holy fuck? Like, can you think of anything? I mean, you'd be hard to jade, man. Sorry?
For the most part, I've been pretty disappointed with most pros that I've met. Like, I always expected them to be way bigger. But the first time I saw Ruly Winkler in a vest and a tank top in the offseason, I was like, what the fuck is that? And Zach Khan. Him and Zach Khan, when they were at their biggest in a tank top, was the most retarded thing I've ever seen. Like, I've never seen Kai in person, but whenever I see his legs in videos, I'm like, what? I mean, Kai's legs are so thick and densely muscled from every single angle.
They're so 3D.
It doesn't look real, but because they're almost his legs are almost like it looks like a fucking Transformers leg. It's like square. Like, right. You know the old school Transformers. His legs are that shape. They're so square and angular and just like carved out. And I've never seen anyone else with legs like that. I would love to see what they would look like in person if they were as freaky or more so.
It's actually worse because we did a couple years ago. We were at McFit in Germany, and I always have to admit to this because it's a terrible truth as a man. You know, when a good looking woman walks by and you. Walked by me on some stairs, and it's the first time a man has walked by, and I had to look. And I looked at the guy next to me. I'm like, I had to take it all in. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what happened the other day. When Ben and I were in the elevator, we were in the Platinum at the week of the Olympia, and this woman got into the lift elevator.
Yes.
And she was with her friend. He said, you going to see the muscle show? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. She was like, check out my muscles, and showed us. She was a big fat woman. She was about 70, fat, right? And she showed us her calves, and they were like stage ready, Flex Lewis, Pekulski level, just the most insane. Ben and they were covered in veins, and Ben and I were like, "What the fuck?" Like she was just a big fat woman with the most etched out, veiny, big calves I've ever seen. They were like, and I just looking at mine and looking at hers. I was like, "I'm doing the Olympia today." And like looking at mine, like, and I've got big calves, and she has literally looked the same, and she was just a fat old woman. Craziest thing I've ever seen.
Humbled you me. Hey, you asked the craziest thing you ever seen. You didn't know it was going to be a heavy set woman in an elevator.
No, but that's how it goes, man. You get some crazy stuff you see, you know. And I've seen some calves on some people who never touched a weight a day in their life. It just makes me cry.
I remember when I was in Disneyland a few years ago, I saw a woman that looked like she had exactly Flex Lewis's calves, but she was just a fat woman, and they were just so big and round. I mean, yeah. She wasn't lean, but they were. But this woman in the elevator was lean. Her legs were, her calves were lean and covered in veins, and they were huge.
I went to a Seattle Seahawks game, NFL game, and I was standing in line to get a drink, and I looked down, and there's this guy in front of me. He had like, you know, like Dickie shorts with a chain on his wallet and like an Iron Maiden shirt. And he was like this big fat Mexican dude. And I looked down at his calves and I was with Ryan, my old boss from Mutant, and nudged Ryan. I was like, look at his calves. And Ryan looked down and was like, holy shit. They were just fucking enormous. And we were looking, and then his girlfriend caught us looking, and she goes, bodybuilders always want to ask him about his calves. You're a bodybuilder, right? And I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, you guys, he gets stopped by bodybuilders all the time.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I started joking with him.
Yeah, there was a guy, you see, in that very first gym that I told you about that I went to, there was a Samoan guy in there, and he was quite old, he's probably in his 50s. And his calves were huge. They weren't shredded, but they were so big. And it was muscle. You could see it, because every time he took a stride, you could see it all contracting. It was about the size of a head. And I was like, just like, what the fuck? They were like Eric Fancaz's.
Yeah.
Like, when Eric was fat, that's what his calves looked like. It's just, and all the best calves I've seen, which are those three that I've just mentioned, are all on fat people that don't train them. So Dennis Wolf never had a chance. It's all the fat people stealing our calves.
Oh, I know, I know. It's been my curse too. So
well, mine are fine actually. I don't know why I'm complaining. That's the only good body part I have at the moment. So
yeah.
Anyone that's not tired.
Gold.
So what's the plan now? I want to know what your last workout with Ben was like.
Terrible. I think I walked out halfway through. I literally think I was like, fuck this. I look shit. I'm going home. And I think I just walked out of the gym. I think that was one of our last workouts, yeah. Because about 3 weeks, three weeks before the Olympia, he actually had pneumonia. Because he thought it was a chest infection that turned into pneumonia. So I didn't see him for about 10, 12 days.
Right.
I think I saw him once. And then he was just ill. And then because he moved to Texas, he had to spend the next 10, 12 days getting ready to pack and move and do stuff and sell his flat and sell his car and his bike and blah, blah, blah. So I literally barely saw him for the last 3 weeks. So I wouldn't even count that as our last workout.
So you guys didn't get to have one big last hurrah where you cracked the beer after and everything?
We trained the week of the Olympia, but I don't think that really counts, does it?
Yeah, not really, no.
That was it. Yeah.
So you guys need to go to Texas to see him to have a reunion workout.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably go over there in January, I think.
Okay.
That'd be good. I mean, I know he's coming back here for Christmas, so I'll see him over Christmas down at MuscleWorks.
You have to do a video. You have to do a reunion workout. Get one of your videographers. I know you got a couple of really good ones that you guys use there in England.
Yeah. We're spoiled for choice in every regard for bodybuilding here. So.
Yeah, one of the things about you guys having a small country like that is, it's easy to get, everything's kind of close, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's easy to get everything, it's easy to get to everywhere, it's easy to get to everyone or from everyone, it's all there.
Yeah, go ahead, Dusty.
Yeah, I was, I wanted to ask too, what's going on with Brutal Muscle and all that?
Oh, we're still carrying on. I've just kind of left it with Ben for a while because I've been a bit preoccupied for the last few weeks with the Olympia. So I kind of just said, Ben, you do it all. And he's been doing it all. He's been doing a great job.
No, I think it's fantastic. I mean, obviously we talked early on before you'd even really started. I mean, you started working, but no one had seen it yet. Has it progressed?
It's been a lot slower than we expected it to be. But that's because these days you're having to compete with YouTube, and a lot of these guys have just got their own channels which they can monetize, so it's really difficult for us for that, and a lot of bodybuilders just aren't interested in doing it. You're like, we're trying to pay you to do a video and you just don't want to do it,
right?
That's the other problem, is like a lot of bodybuilders unfortunately just don't care and don't want to work.
Yeah, that's that's funny, Dusty. We would have never known that. Hey,
that's something that we jam on all the time, because I'm blown away with, you know, everyone wants a sponsor. Everyone wants to have a big name.
Oh my God. It pisses me off this, because I'm just re-signing my contract with Redcon now, and I'm being extremely well looked after, but it's been I've been nonstop working all the time. I'm doing something and I fucking love it. So all these bodybuilders out there, like, you should sponsor me and pay me $100,000 a year because I look fucking good for 2 minutes a year.
Right.
The rest of the time I'm doing nothing.
Yep.
And that's what they expect. If you want a good, the good contracts are out there, trust me, because I've got one, because you have to work your ass off. You have to keep fucking working. I was filming like 2 days out. I hated life. I still did my filming obligations. I still did everything, because it takes a lot of work. And the bodybuilders that want to work and accept that are the ones that are doing well for themselves. But I think people are still in the whole, like, well, in the 90s, the contracts are amazing. You did nothing. Well, guess what? It's not the 90s.
So. Yeah, well, that's the thing, though, is it blows my mind because they will ask. And I think on the flip, I mean, like for us right now, I'm asking for work because if it gets a little bit slower, I'm like, why aren't we working more?
You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm exactly the same.
Like if Aaron stopped having videos come and it was this time of year, you'd be like, do I need to worry about my
Well, yeah, I know. Because I have to live because I don't want you doing any content for quite a while. I want you to rest and, you know, just do your thing, just chill.
Right.
And I call because I'm going to see a surgeon on Wednesday to have a look at my midsection because I've had that hernia that I had repaired. So I got a hernia like above my belly button.
Yeah.
And it's not a hernia, it's actually the scar where they put the mesh and you can still just see it and it will never get any worse. And it's been like that since I was 19 years old when they first repaired it, and they repaired it just not cosmetically. Right. So I'm getting it redone. And I phoned Aaron today, I was like, dude, we should film the surgery. And he was like, it's a good idea. So hopefully we'll get a day. We'll actually have a video of me going into surgery and speaking with the surgeon and actually see a bit of me getting cut open. So
that's the kind of thinking that you're doing when you want to have a career at this shit.
Yeah. But would you guys watch the video? Would you guys?
Oh, yeah.
It would be a sick video, right?
I've seen you train.
Because the other thing as well, like me just coming around from the general anesthetic and you could ask me any question, my answers will be amazing.
I think you do an episode of Bodybuilding and Bullocks right as you come out of your stupor.
Oh, it'd be fucking amazing.
I can see you sitting there in your hospital gown with like a, you know, still got your bracelet on and you just have the food tray with your laptop on it.
Yeah, easy. I would definitely do that as well.
And that's when Fuad will get all the butt sex jokes out of you.
I don't know why he's so obsessed with it. I mean, I don't think the man's ever done it. I think he's so jealous because he's never done it. And over here, so.
Well,
do you know what's amazing as well? The way you guys are laughing means you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. So, so Fuad is the odd one out, and not me. So the viewers cannot be looking at this thinking I'm a freak because all of us know exactly what I'm talking about. Fuad, the freak, right?
Luke, there's nothing wrong with you, Luke.
Good.
At least not in this department.
No. That's why we get along, man. Listen, yeah. We've had you for over an hour now. It's really thank you for your time, man.
Cool. Getting texts from Fred, like, when are we starting, bro?
Yeah. And they just say, don't tell him we talked about him. We'll see if anyone else tells him.
He'll probably cut this bit out. He'll probably sit there analyzing it and getting really sensitive. And he'll start writing down it festering his mind for weeks.
And then he'll be texting me. You called me an asshole.
It'll text all three of us like, we're friends, right?
That's what we're trying to get through this lack of anal situation.
Yeah.
If Fuad stops talking to me, I'll know it was this episode.
You fucking bitch.
So no worries. But thanks, Luke. Get some food in ya. I want to see, what's the heaviest you've ever been?
304.
So I want to see a 305, but way leaner.
I think I'll be a comfortable 310 this year.
Okay.
But you know what? I don't push to get that heavy.
Yeah.
Because every year it's just happened.
Yeah. Well, I fully expect it to happen.
One of the things I actually want to focus on this year, which is kind of a weird thing, because I'm getting the surgery in my midsection, so it will look better so I can actually start training it. Because I can't really do much ab work because it's quite painful.
Right.
When that's done, I'm just going to dedicate the entire year to trying to make my waist as tiny as possible. Do it what Ruli did?
Yep.
Because Ruli is arguably smaller than he used to be.
What did Ruli do that you think worked?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. So I can start training it, waist train, maybe just less food portions, not force feeding. Because instead of trying to get bigger, just for the sake of it, I'm going to try and make my waist smaller so I look bigger, because I can still improve body parts, but if I can create the illusion, make my waist just way smaller.
Well, here's just a quick observation I made. I've always felt that Ruli's ab thigh was a problem because I feel like he doesn't flex his obliques. So he flexes his abs and then his obliques bulge out.
Yeah, but I didn't think that until I saw the Portugal picture. No, the Italy pictures.
Yeah, then the show he just did, I feel like he locked into it and his obliques came in and his ab shot looked awesome.
That's what I mean. It's like he's all this, the muscle, like the oblique muscle, it's like that's atrophied on him.
Right.
But I also think he doesn't always activate it when he does his ab shot. Like it has to go, you know?
But I think with me is it's like, because I don't train them at all, maybe it's like if I train them a lot, because it's like, you know, when we train legs, so when it comes to locking out our quads and to separate them, it's just easy. Because we do it a lot. I'm thinking, if I do that with my midsection all year round, wear the waist trainers and the fucking belt when I'm training, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Maybe it would just look better just because my control of it and the detail there from actually training it will be that much better, which it gives the illusion your waist is more.
Absolutely.
Because I know Ian Valliere, his waist was tiny this year compared to what it was last year. Well, it's like done something to really pull it in. So I'm sure there's a way to
do it. I'm wondering, see, I'm a very huge skeptic on waist trainers. However, if you have a situation where maybe your stomach is stretched a bit, maybe wearing it allows it to just like retract and
I think it just strengthens your TVA, because I've got a waist trainer. When I do wear it, it's really uncomfortable to relax. The only way it's comfortable is to pull your abs in, like your TVA. Yep, so right. If your TVA is tight, it's way more comfortable. So it just reminds, and if you're wearing that for a couple of hours, you just stay like that.
Interesting.
The same thing when you don't wear one ever, you'll see guys that they're, even though if they're not wide waisted, their stomach just hangs out.
Yeah.
You start wearing one all the time, because I did it for a while and actually I'm starting it as well. And you notice that when you take your shirt off, you're just holding your stomach in.
Yeah, you're holding it in automatically and you don't tire from it because you've been doing it all along anyway.
Yep.
No, when you're wearing the belt, when you relax and you let it slip, the discomfort reminds you to pull it back in.
Huh, interesting.
So that's how it worked in my head anyway.
Okay. Well, we look forward to a newer, bigger, better Luke.
Fresh.
I want to see some crazy off-season photos where your arms look cartoonishly bigger than your head and shit.
I'm just fat and hairy. I want to look like a dumpling, like Lee Priest. Like,
yes. Like your face is going to pop.
Exactly. My face hasn't gone really. This is about as fat as it gets. And this is puffy for me. My face doesn't really blow out as much as it used to.
Oh, wow. You got to keep all GQ for the Redcon videos.
I mean, I reckon I can get it nice and round. I think that's what we should do.
Okay.
Nice big round face.
Well, we'll have you on again when your head fills the screen. How's that?
Perfect.
Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, man. I appreciate having me on.
All the way from the UK, Luke Sanow. Have a good year, buddy.
See you later, guys.
There you go, dude.
Man, another solid episode. I think we could have taken that 900 direction, but we might have had to change the name of the show.
Yes, I know. There was so many openings there where I was like, do I derail this?
Do we go completely off the charts here?
You know what I mean? Like we're giving our viewers a nice, you know, they do we go there, just see how the ratings are, you know? There's lots of chances there, but no, Luke's a funny guy and a great bodybuilder, and you know, really appreciate him coming on. You know, we got no shortage of people that want to come on the show, man. And, you know, it's just, I know we're supposed to do, you know, our alternating format where it's just you and me this week. But, you know, coming off the Olympia with Luke able to do it, you know, that's how it's just got to go.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the, you know, it's the old saying, you know, like a plan is just not how things roll out, where you tell them, no, it doesn't really work for us. Can you wait a week? Like, we'll take them now. I mean, we've got people, I know we've got a couple that offered for next week as well. And it's like, with people's schedules, I'm kind of like, take it.
Yeah, especially the post-Olympia right now, it's a weird time. We're going to run into this. We're also probably going to run into a few droughts where people are like too busy to do the show.
Yeah.
You know, like around the Arnold and stuff. I'm anticipating that we're going to have some periods of time where we can't maybe get a guest. We'll have 2 weeks in a row where it's just us or something. Right. You know, and then we'll have to have like, you know, quiz trivia to fill the space or something.
Well, there's always options where, you know, I mean, I think that's been the good thing I'm hearing is everyone's liking the variety. The fact, like, I was nervous, honestly, after our first episode, like, was somebody going to say, oh, man, you guys have to have a guest. Like, oh, it was weak without a guest. So far, the reviews and even the views have been about the same all the way through, you know, just kind of constantly going up, so it's good.
Yeah, and we have seen a drop in the views since we moved to the new channel. I think just a lot of people haven't, you know, the migration over, and the fact that your channel had 10,000 people on it, so we got a lot of views there. However, the audio has not. The audio's trucking up. So we know that the drop in views on the YouTube was just because of the migration of the show, because the audio did not drop. That actually went up. So
it's our chance to instead of poll the audience, ask the audience when you guys post that you are watching the YouTube or the audio. Feel free to take it one more step and throw us a swipe up so that your friends and fans can watch the show as well, especially if you see something that you want to share with people, you know?
Yeah, I'm not above asking the viewers for a bit of help with the new channel, you know? Make sure everybody knows where we are. Some people are just bad at listening to instructions, Dusty. And I got some messages from some people. They're like, I can't find your show. And I'm like, there's clicks everywhere. Like,
there's little people in the, you know, that like go like this. So like, it's all you got to do.
There's my link in the bio. There's like, just go to YouTube, type in Dusty Hanshaw, Ron Parlow. It'll, like, you know what I mean? It's some people aren't as good at searching for stuff and tracking stuff down. But yeah, I mean, we're really happy with the response. And I had a lot of people say that our best episode was last week with Jose. Right. And I don't think that means Jose was the best guest or anything. I think that means that maybe we're getting better at doing the whole show. Right. And, you know, I think when you have a guest on, like with Luke, I mean, I think we just let Luke talk. I mean, he you know, he told, I think if we, you know, get the most out of our guests, it's going to be a skill that we can definitely work on. So I'm pretty happy with everything. Now, I did want to touch on a couple of things, Dusty. I know you and I try to stay really real, and we didn't talk about this beforehand, but you know, you had a pretty rough weekend. Yes. Do you want to say anything about your weekend?
You know, I mean, I put up a post today on Instagram, which I guess will still be there when people are watching this, but you know, just obviously, I had my dog died on Saturday, and anyone who's followed me for any length of time knows that she was kind of, since I've been on the map, Zoe's been with me. So it's been cool that, like, I can actually, we actually threw up a throwback video on Sunday morning on my YouTube of just taking her to get groomed. And, you know, first off, it was just awesome to see the amount of people who reached out. It's funny because, as you know, we're just normal people doing our thing, but to see people break stride for shit that actually matters is really cool. You know,
yeah,
deadlifting 800 pounds. I mean, it's cool that you guys like it, but when you see something that's a little more real and people react, that's awesome. And it also just kind of gave me an opportunity to look, and something that I've always shot a hole in with social media is how fraudulent it really is.
Yeah.
You know, in people's lifestyles. So it kind of gave the chance to say, hey, you know, shit isn't perfect. And in fact, I didn't respond perfectly as a bodybuilder through this, but we're cranking it up. So, you know, there's always something at the end of the day that was, you know, that can be utilized with something like this. And then the biggest downside is I don't have anybody coughing or barking in the background. You know, Luke's dogs are fighting. I'm like, bastard, don't tell them to be quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're all thinking about you. I mean, your dog's like your kid and your family and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And Zoe was just, she's like your side, you know, like your Batman and Robin.
Exactly. She was Batman.
You know, she was Batman. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and obviously I had a rough weekend too. Found out my mother passed away on Saturday. And so, you know, it's going to be a big week. I got to travel over, see my dad. My brother and sisters are there helping with stuff. And, you know, just going to go make sure he's okay and, you know, sort out a bunch of paperwork and kind of handle all the family business and, you know, plan that sort of stuff. I too, like you said, you know, you don't know if you want to post about it or not, right?
Right.
And I sort of sat with it for a day. I was like, well, I'm not one of these people that throws my private life. I don't, you know, like, yeah. I just don't like putting that up. But then I thought, you know, maybe I should put something up. Maybe it would help someone else or something. So I put up an Instagram story where I talked for just a bit about it.
Right.
And which was surprisingly cathartic. And I didn't expect to feel so much better just by doing an Instagram story, which then made me feel guilty. Like there was something wrong with me. Like, you know, like it was just this crazy sort of thing that you don't really understand how to handle it. But then the messages started coming in from the story. And I had people sending me these insane messages. Like, I just called my mom for the first time in 7 years. Thank you for the message.
Right.
and now they're talking to their mom again.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And, like, that sort of stuff. And I had, like, an overwhelming amount of people say, like, oh, that was really important to hear. I've been fighting with my dad. I haven't spoken to him in 3 years, and I'm going to go see him today. And just these crazy messages. So thank you to all of you guys. I know what you mean about the support that you don't expect, Dusty.
Right. I want to interrupt you, because I think one thing that you missed, too, is when people are going through a weird moment, I had a moment where, like, Sunday morning I woke up and I was like, I got to get back to the gym. And it was for me, you know what I mean? And then I'm thinking, man, all right, so I didn't sleep last night at all. At fucking 1 a.m, I'm posting about this. I had just a brief second where I was like, shit, I look like a douche. Like, oh, he's so sad, but he fucking ran off to the gym. You know what I mean? So I had like a brief little thing, and then you text me and told me what happened, which I got to tell you also brought things into perspective, because I was like, wow, okay, that's huge news. But you were like, yeah, I was training 2 hours later. And your answer, which I'm going to share, I hope that's okay, was, you know, my mother hated two things, taxes and laziness. And I heard that, man. And I mean, and I guess the reason I'm sharing is because that changed. I immediately was like, of course I should go to the gym. Like, I was understanding it. But I'll be honest with you, I wasn't going to be posting any videos, and I was kind of expecting some scorn looks at the gym because, oh, look at him, you know, kind of the reverse. Look at this guy. He wants attention for his dog dying on the internet, but right. The next he's going on like nothing happened.
Right.
So when you hit me with that, I was like, man. So when I saw you posted a story later, I was like, it's awesome, because how many people have a different view that they're like, oh, fuck, you know? What I did wasn't wrong, or man, I should just keep moving in life, or I should call my mom. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely something to be said about just fucking going for it and fuck it, see what happens.
I got to tell you that your response meant a lot too. Do you remember what your response was? I said 2 hours after my dad called me, I was training. You know, right. My mom hated taxes and laziness. And your response was, my man. Right. And I was like, Dusty gets it. Dusty understands me. I'm not broken. Right. I'm not... You know, well, maybe I'm just as broken as Dusty. How's that? Yeah, so
careful.
But yeah, man, it was kind of crazy that the timing of that, you know, we were both going through something really tough, the support was crazy. And thanks to the viewers and obviously everybody that, you know, follows us on social media and stuff. And yeah, it's good to have episode 7 in the books, man. Onward and upward.
Absolutely, man. It's going to be another great episode this week and on to the next. So, guys, keep sharing and make sure to let us know if there's anything else you want to see. I love when I get the random questions just throw through the DMs like, hey, bring this up. So I've got a few backlog for our next no guest episode.
Yeah, the next no guest episode is going to be a lot of questions, a lot of Coach's Corner. We'll hammer you with that stuff. So looking forward to it. But remember, guys, it's just bodybuilding. Thank you. We'll be right back.